Friday. And the sports machine with Slim is ready to rock and roll. Let's do this. It's getting to be a habit. Patting myself on the back. Celebrating Boston Bruins victories. As we win big game after big game. And the duo goalie tandem situation playing out exactly as I had thought that it would over the past 3 months. The other night we got Ullmark in net, leads us to a 3-0 victory over a very tough Nashville team who had been something like 14-2 in their last 16 home games that ended in regulation. They'd been playing great. We go in there and just smash them 3-0. And now last night, we take on a Carolina team who's near the top of the standings in the Eastern Conference. We're battling with them and the Rangers in Florida for the best overall record and, you know, home ice throughout the playoffs. Carolina's last 14 games, they were 11-2-1. I heard Jack Edwards say that at the beginning of the game last night. 11-2-1. Carolina was in their last 14 games before last night. And what happened? Bruins go in there. We're up 3-0. Cruise to a 4-1 win. Yes, the second period, we gave up plenty of opportunities. But guess what? Jeremy Swayman playing awesome. Carolina scored one goal. That one goal was when Swayman kind of got tripped. He got tangled up a little bit with the Carolina defenseman. He ends up on the ground after making a save and can't get back up, so he just kind of holds his spot on the ground, and the dude comes out the other side, a player from Carolina with the puck from behind the net, boom, up and over the top of Swayman. That's the only goal the guy gave in. 4-1 victory over Carolina, a team that people were afraid of, and, you know, it's getting tiresome listening to these fans of the Bruins, quote-unquote fans, that have no confidence. I keep talking about it here, but I wanted to read a little something to all of you people here from Twitter, if I can find it. Last night, I was going back and forth with a dude, just a random dude, who has responded, if you know Sully Mike, Sully, who's been on the show a couple times over the last couple weeks here, he knows the Bruins. I linked up with him through Twitter. He's got the podcast going, Something's Brewing Podcast. It's pretty cool, and he makes posts all the time on Twitter. Well, I see one guy, he responds to Sully's post. He says, since the Bruins have won just once since sweeping in 2019, I'm going to pick the Hurricanes 4-3. He says, sorry, man, it's just one of those buildings. They have a tough time winning then. He's referring to the Bruins. Not to mention the win last year was in a shootout, LOL. Just not much confidence. So I read that, and I'm just like, the Bruins have plenty of confidence in their own, have plenty of their own confidence right now. Bruins win tonight. 3-2, I guessed. He said, the Bruins can have confidence. As someone who sat through every single loss in that building since 2019, I have none. LOL. So this is a Bruins fan going into last night's game. Just has no confidence in the team. He says, hey, it sounds like he's a hardcore Bruins fan. As someone who sat through every single loss in that building. So the dude must be from the Carolina area. And it goes to the Bees games where our fans travel. The Bruins fans on the road are definitely great. I heard them last night. Let's go, Bruins, like in the other team's arena. That's very cool. But, you know, I just had some back and forth with him. I say, I talk about it all the time on the radio show. So many scared Boston fans who wrongly doubt this Bruins team. He says, again, the Bruins have not played well in Carolina. It's not doubting the team. It's just that they literally have won once, including the playoffs, since 2019 at that arena. That's just my take on it. And I said, well, I'm going to choose to live in the present with the team that we actually have on the ice right now instead of the guys from years past. Let's see what happens tonight. And now we know what happened. Bruins win 4-1. And it's watching the games is like kind of important. You can say, oh, we had a great season last year and then the playoffs came. And okay, that was last year. This year, it's a little bit different. The vibe of the team is different. We've been through some struggles this year, right? And now we ain't struggling. We ain't struggling. And if you watch the games, it's not luck. We're not scoring lucky goals. Did you see this goal last night from Pastrnak. I mean, first off, the Bruins go up early in the first period. Marchand scores his 400th goal of his career, and that was a big one. He'd been waiting to get number 400, so it was probably in his mind a little bit. He had been close a couple of times. Ah, breath of fresh air. I finally scored my 400th goal of my career. Awesome. But then Pastrnak, with 11 minutes left in the first, gains possession in our end, passes it, gets it back somewhere around mid-ice, or just as we're entering into the zone, carries the puck all the way down, jukes the defender, goes to the side, handles, in traffic, calm, cool, collected, bing, right up in the upper left-hand corner of the net above the goalie's shoulder. And people want to worry about, like, the top-end talent on this team. Are we talented enough? If you watch that play, it's over. You know, the answer is there. Pastrnak is incredible right now. I watched one play. Brad Marchand's coming down the ice. He's got a dude guarding him. Stops on a dime. Sprays the ice up in the air. Boom, cuts away. The defender that was guarding him fell down. Fell down on the ice, like tripped over his own feet. Our guys can skate. Our guys can pass. Our guys can go into Carolina, a place where we've been struggling apparently over the last 5 years, face a team that's 11-2-1, and go up 3-0 in the first period. That's the team I'm rooting for. That's the team I've invested all my time in over the past 4 months. And it's paying off, because this team is going to do something special. I continue to say it. So get on board, everybody, and stop with the ridiculous lack of confidence. We have a team that can go all the way. This is not debatable. Look at the record. Look at the standings. Look at the regular season from last year. Yet people talk about, like, the playoffs from last year. Like, oh, they're just going to flop again, or they're going to choke. It's like, dude, did you watch the playoffs last year? Like, the Bruins were up in the series. We lost in 7 games to Florida. Florida was, like, really good. So it wasn't like we totally collapsed. Yeah, I think we were up 3-1. So we didn't win. Okay. That happens. It was the coach's first year in the playoffs. And so people a month ago are like, oh, is this a Jim Montgomery problem? Remember I complained about EEI saying that 3-4 weeks ago in the morning show? And I said how ridiculous it sounds, like Jim Montgomery's a problem. Is anybody a problem right now for the Bruins? I mean, I'm just saying. It's been nonstop the same with me. People coming in studio saying, oh no, they just don't have it. Just not as good as the Rangers. Not as good as, you know, Florida. It's like, listen, dude. They are. So why think negatively? Why not go in and say, it's a new year. We're playing awesome. Great, fun team to root for. Omark and Swayman now are really pushing each other in a positive way. A brother type situation. Go get them tonight, man. I'll get them the next night. We're willing to fight. Once again, last night we had a fight. Beecher, who I guess is like 6'4 on the tape. He's measured 6'3, 6'4. He fought a dude who's like 5'10, Drury, from Carolina. We lose another fight. Beecher lost, pretty much. I mean, he slammed the guy down at the end. I think the guy hit his face, actually, on the ice, which not too good for that Drury guy. But just the fisticuffs portion of it, Beecher, I would say, lost the fight. The Bruins lose every fight that they've had over the past couple weeks, but we are willing to engage and willing to fight. And guess what? Post fights, you never see our team back down. In fact, we always amp it up. Against these teams here, the past couple, Nashville against Carolina, and we've been talking about for weeks, we check. All game long, we check. And the Bruins are tough. We're talented and we're tough. And if we want to go with the 3 T's, we are certainly together. Everything is there for this team to go all the way. And I hope we continue to be underdogs. I'm praying that's the case. Swayman and Omark, any night they're going into net right now, they could score. They can give up 0 goals. Like, they're that good. Linus Omark 3 nights ago, was just absolutely insane. Last night, Swayman, listen, when a tough save needed to be made, he made it. And whether it's a... You know, he made the easy saves, but he's making the tough saves too, whether it's a blinding, you know, slap shot right at him, or somewhere he's scrolling across the crease of the net here to cover the other side because somebody's coming down and it was passed over real quick last second and he's coming out of nowhere to make the save. It's all good in Boston Bruins land. I'm hoping the Celtics can get there too. If you ask me which team is going farther in the playoffs this coming season, if I'm betting my money, I'm betting on the Bruins. Insane, but that's just who I am. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We got some callers coming in today. Who do you think it's going to be? NHTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. That goal given up by Swayman last night, I mentioned. I forgot. It was 5-on-3. They had 5 guys on the ice. We had 3. That's the only way teams are scoring against us right now. The Boston Bruins are so tough. I can't wait until the playoffs start up and we know who we're going to play in the first round so I can call a sports talk radio show from that city and just start talking trash to their people on the air. Be like, hey, we're going to be on the air. How about you guys be on the air too, and we can have some back and forth and talk about how the Bruins are going to crush your dreams. That's what I'm planning to do. Thomas Polk is with us on the line. Thomas, what do you think about that if I call the sports talk radio shows of teams that the Bruins are playing in the playoffs and just talk crazy amounts of trash?
I'm not sure if they're going to enjoy it as much, but hey, it'll be a fun little thing to do.
We'll enjoy it. We'll enjoy it real good. Hey, I'll tell you, I got lots of notes from last night's game, but I know we texted a little bit back and forth. It is really so much fun to watch this team right now.
No, they've been playing awesome. Like we said, we've been talking the last few games when they went on that road game, the last 4 games here, but with the games remaining, right? Several playoff teams, and they've been doing awesome against every one of them. So great to see. They're getting ready.
And we got another one tomorrow night. And that's kind of, I think, after that game, you take a little bit of a breath and say, okay, let's go. We can play Florida tomorrow night. We beat them the last time we played them. Let's go beat them again. And then it's, all right, let's settle down because it'll have been 3 real tough games in a row. But, I mean, the pieces that I'm looking at here, Thomas, is just what Don Sweeney has done. And I know one of the guys I see online calls him the Sweeniest. Because it's a genius, but he really, I think he pulled a rabbit out of his hat with this guy, Andrew Peak. The more I watch this defenseman we traded for, like, I think this dude's good.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a change of scenery, right? He's still a fairly young player, and that's something that's needed, and obviously it worked out for them. So they've definitely done a really good job look back, ever since they won the Cup, they've been contenders. They haven't been close. They lost in the finals a couple times. But overall, you know, they're in the mix every year. So we're just a little spoiled with our team here.
Well, we want to win. And I like that about a fan base. You want to be like, hey, the only thing that's acceptable is a championship. I mean, and that's why I get on the Celtics. What the heck? The Celtics have been a fun team regular season and even playoffs. They've had success, but they haven't gotten it done. And so I get miserable. You know, so I can understand that from a fan. But with the Bruins, I just think so many things are going right this year. The duo goalie tandem is working out great. And now with Peak coming in, just the defenseman, Thomas, I mean, you put Lindholm and McAvoy out there together in the playoffs, I really think we got the best defensive tandem in the league if you put those two guys out there. And then it's like, all right, well, who else are you going to play? All the other guys are slotting into the right position and doing well.
No, you're right. They're definitely up there. And you and I talked about it when you look back at Colorado when they won their Stanley Cup. The 2D, Taves and Makar, were their 2 stars, and they played big minutes. And our guys are going to have to do the exact same. That's where they're the stars. That's where they make the most money. That's where they're talked about the most. And come playoff time, it's time for them to shine and show us why they are 1 and 2 on that team.
Exactly. You got it. And I remember from the Bruins run when we won the Cup a handful of years back, I would guess 6 or 7, maybe 8 years back, maybe even more than that, who knows. But I remember over 10. Okay, so Seidenberg and Chara. I mean, those two together during that run were nuts. Nobody was scoring against those two guys. They were just physical. They had all the skill sets. And it just seems like all these tandems that they're putting together, Thomas, with, like, you got McAvoy playing with Lindholm, and then you have the other side, you have Peak and Wotherspoon play as your third pair, which I think those are just consistent guys that they do a good job clearing the puck from the zone. But the other two, we got Brandon Carlo, the dude that you like who's big. And the more I watch him, he's not turning the puck over. He's playing great. But you're matching him with Grizzlick. And I see Grizzlick playing a lot better recently too, Thomas. Like, all these guys seem to be operating at their full capacity right now.
Well, that's kind of what you're hoping for, right, as a coaching staff and management, that your guys are doing well throughout the year. But come April, you know, middle of April, then right before playoffs, you want them to be at your top game, and they are. They really are showing it right now.
All in the
defense.
There's
no flaws in their game.
Right. I see really, literally no flaws. And what I think we've done through the course of this season, which I feel was different than last year, Thomas, and years past, is when we were trying to clear the puck out of the zone in years past, I think we were just too quick with our movements and trying to clear it up the boards every single time. And now I feel like the defensemen are confident enough to be like, okay, I'm going to hold the puck for an extra second. And you know something? The opening might be to the center of the ice, where you might not want to throw the puck in front of the goalie. You know what I mean? Your natural inclination as a defenseman must be to keep the puck out of the middle when clearing the zone, I would think. You can tell me, of course, but...
No, so you're right on that regard. It was the old school thinking of you can't put it up the middle, but everybody's gotten so good at closing off the walls that the walls are not there anymore. So you got to be comfortable enough as a defenseman or whoever forward is back in their own end that you got to use the guy in the middle. It just has to be a tape-to-tape pass. It can't be just up the middle to nobody, right? So that's when the turnovers happen, and that's when the goals are getting scored. So, yeah, when your D core is good enough to make those plays up the middle, you're going to have a chance to get out of your own zone quickly and on the attacking part of the game. But at the end of the day, everybody knows, right? Every team that's ever been successful in the playoffs and won Stanley Cups are the teams that have great goaltending and have a solid defensive game. You're not going to win games 7-5, you know, 8-6 in the playoffs. Those games might happen every now and then, but for the most part, they're going to be tight games, hard fought. And if you give up 3 or 4 goals in the playoffs, you're not going to win every game. It just doesn't work.
We've got the defensemen, and I think on the offensive side, we check. Like, that's what I noticed. We hit in these big games, Thomas. Well, you played in the NHL for 5 years, and you were a defenseman. I'm just wondering, is it in your mind, like, when you're trying to get the puck out of the zone, right, and you know guys are coming to hit you to try and check you and take the puck away from you, you have to be careful about throwing that puck into the middle of the ice. Like, that's definitely got, it's a snap decision, but are you seeing this Bruins team do it? It's almost like they're like, okay, I'm going to hold it just for that extra second longer. I'm not just going to throw it into the middle where maybe it gets intercepted. I feel like last year and other years, that's what they were doing. They weren't confident enough to look around and make sure they made the right, like, exit pass. Are you noticing this, or is this just my imagination?
No, I think confidence is a huge part of the game, right? When you see star players, they're doing well, and then all of a sudden they go up and off. It's not because they forgot how to play hockey, right? They've been doing this their whole life. But the confidence part is where it comes in, right? And you want your players to be able to make those plays. And then you can see it with the confidence part, right? When the time comes and your confidence gets low, those plays up the middle aren't going to go that well, and you're going to, oh, I'm just going to go up the wall. I'm going to throw it up there. But we know that's not an option, right? So then the turnovers happen there as well. And you can see it right now, dude. You know, they're making those plays with ease.
The Bruins have so much confidence, Thomas. Why don't the fans have more confidence?
Yeah, it seems like that's a little bit of a Boston area sports team issue for us. We like to complain more than give them support. Hey, they've been great. And that's not just the Bruins. That's our other teams too, right? And a couple last 2 decades, we've been spoiled with how many championships we've won in all 4 sports. So I think that's like us complaining at a very high level. Because I guarantee you a lot of other markets would be happy if they had one of our 4 sports.
Definitely. Well, I don't know about the Patriots right now, but I hear you. I do agree. Which team do you want to play in the first round of the playoffs? Because we're almost there. I mean, we got one more week of regular season games with the Bruins, and it seems like either Tampa Bay or Toronto might be the most likely first round teams. I'm a little afraid of Tampa Bay.
Well, I mean, right now it's between us and the Rangers, right? Whoever finishes first in the Eastern Conference. Rangers obviously have one game left. Place at us with 1 point more. I don't know what their schedule looks like. Obviously, number one team is most likely going to play whoever's going to make it, whether it's the Islanders, the Capitals, the Red Wings, Pittsburgh, right? One of those teams. So Tampa looks like they have that first wildcard spot locked up. So if you finish second in the East, that's where you're going to go again. We are, you know, pretty much ahead of the Panthers, and obviously tomorrow's game is going to be a big one, right? Five games left for each team. You win that game, now you're 6 points ahead. You're most likely locked that spot up. At the end of the day, I don't think you can really look at it like who do we want in the first round. I think it's more like keep that same level, keep the confidence up, keep playing the way you're playing. Whoever comes, comes. Like at the end of the day, you want to win that Stanley Cup, you got to play great against everyone that's coming your way.
We got to play Florida tough tomorrow night. Just hearing you say that is like, absolutely. That's like, okay, dude, we're finishing ahead of you if we win this game. And we're hot right now. We're just going to show you we're the better team. We're going to beat you for the second time in a week here. This is definitely how the Bruins will approach that game tomorrow. This is like a playoff game tomorrow, no doubt.
Oh, 100%. And I do think, and that's my opinion, might be a little out there, but I do think that if Florida plays the Maple Leafs, I think Florida's going to pull ahead. So even if the Bruins don't play him in the first round, they're gonna see him in the playoffs at some point.
And I'm fine. I'm happy to have that. I would like to have home ice, but no. I thought about this earlier, Thomas. Like the New York teams, whether it's Rangers, Islanders, Mets, Yankees, whatever, they always choke. I'd love to play the Rangers in the conference finals.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a good team. They've been right there. Chris Drury has done an incredible job there for getting them to the point where now they're contenders again. Obviously, they have a really good goaltending duo there as well with Igor Shesterkin in net, who's most likely going to be their starter. But their backup, Jonathan Quick, former UMass guy, by the way, very strong goalie. I mean, that guy has won Stanley Cups and won one last year. I know he was the backup, but you can be pretty confident if something happens to Igor, you can throw him in the net too.
We're going to take him. We're going to take him down, Thomas. Thanks for calling the show today. Bruins rock and roll. This is NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We'll be right back with another caller. Welcome back to New Hampshire's Next Generation Sports Talk Radio Show. We're on the line right now with my friend and fellow basketball expert, the Pistol. Happy
What's
Friday,
up,
Pistol.
Slim? What's up, Slim? I heard your Tuesday conversation with Mitty about Slim versus Caitlin Clark 1v1.
Mm-hmm.
And not without coincidence that day, I also learned about the Dunning-Kruger effect. I had never heard of that before. Are you familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect?
I am not. Educate me.
All right. So the Dunning-Kruger effect, as described by Wikipedia, is a cognitive bias in which people with limited competence in a particular domain overestimate their abilities.
Now, how did that come your way in just normal society day Tuesday?
I think it was working with fellow coworkers.
Okay, so did you actively search that out, or somebody shared that with you? Like, were they referring to you and your confidence level on something at work?
They were referring to other people that we work with, and so there's a massive Dunning-Kruger effect with those people. So. But I thought it applied perfectly with your self-assessment of your basketball ability.
So that immediately came to your mind upon hearing me say that I would be able to do a better job defending Caitlin Clark than the people on LSU did.
That's right.
Interesting. So you object to that remark. How many points do you think Caitlin Clark would score against me today?
Ooh, Caitlin Clark.
40 minutes. 40 minutes. I'm playing the whole 40. I'm not subbing out. And I haven't run in 3 months.
Yeah, you got no endurance. You got zero endurance. I think she's going to be toasting you up and down the court by the time halftime comes.
So, how many points would she score?
I give her let's go with 45.
Okay, I'm all right with that. I mean, that's respectable. I think most people listening to the radio right now would say that Caitlin Clark would score a lot more than 45 if they were guarding her for the whole game. So, I think that actually makes me feel proud of myself. That people must be like, "Hey, Slim's a pretty good athlete."
I mean, I'm assuming you're going to at least get over the screens, right?
Oh, she's always going to have to go into the middle. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not letting her shoot threes. I'm going over the top of screens every time and tall enough, I think, to block a few of those shots if she doesn't get them off quickly.
So what are you thinking about today's game, UConn versus Iowa? Can the locals knock them out?
So I think Iowa's favored by 2. I think that's what I saw last. What I would tell you is when I watched UConn play the other day, they looked more athletic to me than Iowa did. I mean, Caitlin Clark's going to get her points, but I just felt like the whole team of UConn was faster. So I'm really curious to see how this plays out tonight with who's going to guard. Caitlin, is it going to be the Paige? Is it Brucker's woman? Is she going to guard her? Do you know this player much?
Yeah, Paige Beckers, I think, is the best player in girls' college basketball. I mean, I think she's awesome. But, you know, Caitlin Clark obviously has insane amount of range and a lot of hype around her. I think Beckers has length to guard her. I don't know if they'll want to put her on her just because, you know, she could draw too many fouls and get out of the game. But I'm with you. I love UConn in this game. And I think it's because they're better all across the starting lineup than Iowa is, right? Like, Iowa really has not a lot of offensive talent after you get past Caitlin Clark.
No, the Gabby girl can shoot some from three, but it's because they are open. I mean, I would say Caitlin throws some bad passes, but she does have pretty incredible vision. Like, she knows from a chessboard standpoint where the ball's supposed to go. If she's going to dribble drive, she knows who she's trying to attract so she can kick to somebody open. So, hey, it's going to be a great game. Let's go. And that's interesting. You say Paige, you think, is the best player. If you put Paige Beckers on Iowa, they would not be as good. Like, Iowa needs Caitlin Clark's skill set to be this good.
Yeah, I mean, the team is built around Caitlin Clark at this point, right? She's been there for years, and she, you know, her range is insane. I mean, there's nobody who can shoot like that in women's basketball other than her. But Paige Beckers is one of the best players, if not the best player in college right now, and I think she has a legit chance to pull the upset here and make a name for herself.
Right on. People are going to be watching. I mean, everybody's now watching, whether it's because you can bet on it or whatever. The women's basketball tournament is drawing some serious ratings, and Caitlin Clark is probably the main reason why. But, I mean, watching UConn, for me, I'm like, hey, these teams are pretty competitive. It's a better brand of basketball than it was 10 years ago in my mind.
Absolutely. And to be honest, Slim, I've been going through basketball withdrawals since the end of Monday night. Like, it is horrible to wait until Friday night. We've got so much awesome action coming up this weekend. It's going to be great.
So we can talk about that. I will say real quick on the NBA, because it's funny, you got basketball withdrawals, but it's because we don't really care about the NBA. Last night, some pretty interesting stuff. The 76ers in Miami are jostling for like the 7 and the 8 and 6 seed in the East. The Sixers win 109-105 now that Embiid is back. They've won a couple games. The Warriors smashed the Rockets 133-110. The Rockets had gotten hot. Yeah, they were within a game of Golden State earlier this week for that 10th and final potential like play-in seed in the West. Well, now the Warriors are up 3 games. So the Warriors have won, I think, 4 or 5 in a row. They're playing better. And the Clippers win 102-100 over Denver. Jokic missed a 3 at the buzzer to try and give Denver the victory. So there is some big stuff going on in the NBA, but you're not paying attention to it.
Yeah, no, I definitely followed all that stuff. It was great. It was funny. I was starting to write down some of these things about the NBA season, like as it's coming to an end, and I wanted to run them by you just to see what you thought about some of them.
Okay.
So do you think, because this is what I think, Luka is the greatest scorer since Michael Jordan?
Yeah. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ain't too far behind him, but yeah.
All right. How about
KD? What about Kevin Durant, I guess? But individual scorer, give the ball and go, yeah, Luka might be there. He's just not that tough, dude.
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of, like, Durant is the only other guy that I would say is in that conversation at the moment, right? And like you said, maybe SGA makes it in there, you know, if he performs for a few years. Or how about this? Wemby came a long way this year, and he's going to be a top 5 player in 1 to 2 years.
I never would have taken him with the number one pick. I think he's too frail and too skinny and too tall, and I think he's going to get hurt, but I'm kind of being proven wrong.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought the same thing, Slim, but he actually plays physical now in the game, right? He can still get pushed around. But he plays down low, he's playing physical with these guys, and he's dunking on guys.
He had 8 blocks the other night, and there's a heavy online Twitter movement going for Victor Wembanyama to win Defensive Player of the Year. Yesterday, his odds were 10-1. Gobert is the current favorite, big-time favorite, but he's got, like, other stud defensive players on Minnesota. So that's why, like, the numbers for the whole team are so great. Wembanyama, they're like, oh, he's on a horrible team record-wise, but, dude, he's by far making the most impact defensively in the league. So I do think it's not a bad play at 10-1. In fact, I took some of that yesterday.
yeah, I think that's a good take right there. I mean, speaking of Minnesota, you kind of turned them on to me when we did our NBA preview, and I've been watching them a lot more closely this year. That team looks legitimate, and I think they could definitely challenge for the crown in the West.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to lose first round. I'll tell you, Pistol, why? Because I think there's too much on Anthony Edwards' plate, and I think he's not a good enough shooter from the outside. And once playoff defense gets at him, I just don't think he's going to have enough in the holster, Pistol, to win four games against, like, the Lakers or Golden State. I just think they'll D him up, and he's going to get tired and not be able to come through.
It's going to be interesting because that will be the question. Is he the type of player that can come through under pressure in that situation? The player that I do think can do that is Luka. And Luka and the Mavericks have won 12 out of their last 14. They look fantastic. Of course, the matchups haven't been very challenging for them lately, but I think that him and Kyrie are playing awesome together. That team looks really good.
You love Luka Doncic. You have for years. What's your fascination with this guy? He's a whiner, and I feel like he just doesn't play any defense.
He does struggle on defense. I wish that that could be changed, but it just looks like over the years it's not going to happen. But I love Luka. His offensive abilities are off the charts. Like I just can't believe how good he is on offense. And I think he's unstoppable. I don't think there's a player in the NBA, you know, Kawhi Leonard, whoever you want to put, that tries to guard him, he will still score. And when you have a player like that in a series, you basically have the best player. I think he's going to pull a series or two out of the Western Conference.
You're going to laugh, but I'm going to tell you right now who guards him great is Peyton Pritchard. He's smart defensively. I'm telling you, look at the statistics. If you watch the game, he turns him. He just knows where he's going to be, and Pritchard is there before him every time. His numbers against Luka are great. Yeah, I don't think he's unstoppable, Pistol. It's different come playoff time. Let's see what happens. But I just don't think a team with two starting guards that don't play D, him and Kyrie, ain't going very far. We only got like 10, 20 seconds. You're on your way out. What do you got to say for Friday?
I'm looking forward to the NCAA tournament. Let's go NC State. We've been behind them the whole time. Let's see him finish it off.
Ow! Wolfpack, let's go, Pistol. I am with you. I really think they're going to beat Purdue. We got one more segment here to go on the Sports Machine with Slim. Hold tight. This is WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Strong, everybody. Let's finish strong. I want to try and be upbeat as we head into the weekend, leaving the snow and ice winter behind us. But I did just see some news. Apparently a big earthquake, well, somewhat of a big earthquake. I don't know, 4.8 on the Richter scale, whatever that scale thing is. But in New York, New Jersey, we got an earthquake. Next week, there's some crazy eclipse with the sun and moon thingamajig, like a full lunar eclipse. And I'm not sure what to make of all this. I think I might have to ask my brother Dave, who's on the line, and he's probably smarter than me on a lot of topics. I definitely yield to his judgment on certain things. Dave, do you wonder if the world is like in a state of upheaval here? We got earthquakes, we got lunar eclipses, and I'm sure there's lots of other stuff we got going on.
Good morning, Slim. Yeah, I don't know if this is different than it's ever been as I've gotten older. For sure, I pay more attention to this than I did when I was in my 20s, so it feels like it, but it's really, really hard for me to tell if that's the case.
Yeah, maybe it's just my imagination, or maybe it's just that I'm saying it now on the radio, so it sounds louder. But let's hope it's nothing. Let's hope it's nothing, and it's just a fun eclipse experience for everybody next week and not a sign of the ending of the world times. So if it is, in fact, end of the world times, maybe NC State would win the title on the way out. College basketball, we haven't talked about it yet here. The Pistol just, he was, you know, cheering for the NC State Wolfpack on the way off the line there at the end of last segment. What do you think, or what are you looking forward to most between the two men's games here where we got Purdue taking on NC State and Alabama UConn tomorrow?
Well, like everybody else, the underdogs, right? I mean, nobody wants to watch UConn win it again, except for the people that actually went to UConn. I think those would be the only people that are actually rooting for them. And that's what I think the NCAA tournament was lacking last year. It's what it's got going on this year. But even more than that, I'm almost looking more forward to the girls' game tonight. There's an interest on my end to watch Caitlin Clark go out there against Paige Beckers in UConn. And then, you know, same thing on the other side, South Carolina. Are they going to stay undefeated? I think the whole weekend is going to be filled with a lot of good games.
We did talk a little bit of the female stuff. Let's do that first then. You got UConn. For me, I'm going to definitely watch some of the UConn game because I want to see Caitlin Clark in Iowa. I just want to see how many points she can score, and it should be a pretty even game. But the Pistol and I both seem to agree. I think the depth of UConn and the overall talent just seem to be greater there. I'd expect UConn to win the game tonight.
Yeah, so, listen, I think, like everyone else, I want to root for Iowa and I want to see South Carolina win. Right? I just think that watching those two teams play in the finals would be fantastic basketball. An underdog story, you know, kind of like Bird versus, you know, Magic back at Michigan State, you know, whatever it was, 40-some-odd years ago. Right? I mean, you got a one-person team over there in Iowa, and listen, you know, was it Steichel or, you know, I mean, they got a couple of good pieces, I guess, on that Iowa team, but the reality is they're built around Caitlin Clark, and, you know, one girl or one person really will their team to a championship in college basketball. I mean, that's what we're watching tonight. That's what I'm interested in. So I'm rooting for Iowa. UConn has the track record. I just want to root for Caitlin Clark. I don't really care what else happens in the game. Like, I want to root for her. I want to see her win.
There we go. Me too. But I only want to see her win tonight if she's going to win at all in the finals. Like you said, against South Carolina, that would be pretty cool to play them, a totally undefeated team, number one seeds, been smashing everybody all year long, for Caitlin Clark to go in up against that team. What, I mean, she'd have to be on fire to win.
No doubt about it. Right. And I think they play the second game. I think the first game is actually the NC State South Carolina game. So, I mean, if NC State was to win that game, well, what, you know, Caitlin Clark's path to winning significantly reduced. You know, so that's why I'll be rooting for South Carolina. Very rarely am I rooting for the favorite. I just think it adds to the storyline, the intrigue, if they were to win that first game.
Well, I think it'd be awesome if NC State played UConn in both the women's and the men's finals. So there's all kinds of things to stay tuned for. That would just be, like, so crazy if the two schools matched up in both the men's and the women's. On the men's side, let's shift gears over there. I will continue to say I think NC State matches up extremely well against Purdue, and I think NC State is, I mean, getting 9 points, I just think that's actually criminal.
Yeah, so, I mean, that game, I think the interesting thing is can NC State and can that Burns piece, can he slow down Edie on the other side? I mean, I Purdue is built around double teams, or Edie just being able to find a way to manhandle it, you know, his way to the basket, right? Creating easy hoops and then getting people into foul trouble, and then it just kind of opens up the floor. But I don't think Purdue's guards are really that great one-on-one. So if Burns can find a way to just hold his own against Edie, I think NC State has a really good shot in that game. I just don't know if he can. I mean, that's going to be the thing we'll find out 3, 4, 5 minutes into that game.
You got it, Dave. That's the important thing to watch, is because from a coaching standpoint, all year long, every team that has played against Purdue, the defense that the coaches are telling is, when he gets the ball in the post, you need to come down and help. You need to double team or else he's going to score every single time. With NC State, if I'm the coach, I do not tell anybody to help off the shooters. I want to make any pass back to their men be difficult. I want to be able to steal the ball. So we're going to let Burns go one-on-one against Edie. How many points realistically do you think that Edie is going to score if he's just all game long single team, if you just don't foul out? Like, what's he going to get? 50 at most? That's not enough for them to win.
Well, I don't know if he'd score 50 anyway. I just don't know. He's never really had a game like that, and quite honestly, he does get tired. I mean, so he's not one of those guys who goes to the goes out on the floor and plays 40 minutes. I mean, they sub him out usually 2 or 3 minutes, twice a half. So if they're going to him consistently and Burns is able to just kind of hold him off, I mean, even if he scores 40, right, like that puts NC State in a really, really good spot.
That's what I'm saying. From a speed standpoint, athleticism and everything like that, NC State has the advantage. Who the heck is going to keep Diarra off the boards? Don't tell me it's that Gillis guy. He's their sixth man for Purdue. Diarra is going to clean up the boards. That's why when I just look at the athleticism matchups here, I'm like, dude, NC State is not outclassed at all.
Listen, 9 games in a row. They've been playing for their lives, and they've come out ahead 9 games in a row. So teams that have something going like that, boy, I mean, you have to beat them. Purdue can't coast in this game. Like, Purdue's going to have to play good to beat NC State. I don't believe NC State's going to beat themselves at this point. I didn't like their team. I didn't like the way they were built. But it's hard to ignore what they've done and seeing different contributors, different pieces have success. Like, they find different ways to win right now.
They have all individual, like, totally different pieces, Dave. Like, Horn, what he does is different than Marcel. What O'Connell does, he's just there to shoot, pretty much, and don't turn the ball over. Diarra is the heavy rebounder. And then you have DJ Burns, who's the wizard with the ball. You have Middlebrooks, the big guy that comes in off the bench just with muscle. And, so he's going to be small against ED, obviously, but make him work. All these little pieces working together. For me and the pistol, I know it's just so much fun. So I'm glad you've come around, and you're now, it sounds like, actively cheering NC State with me, because I'm hoping they get to the finals to go against UConn, and we got a dream matchup here. UConn against Alabama, Dave. Alabama's on a huge roll, too, but I know you didn't love them coming into the tournament. This is probably the game where they just get absolutely trounced by UConn.
So I think that's going to be a very fast pace. Alabama wants to go up and down the floor. UConn has had a great defensive run. I think they've given up more than 58 or 59 points in a game in this postseason. I mean, that team is just, they're firing on all cylinders. But the one thing I know about Hurley is, like, they can adjust. UConn can do whatever another team really wants to do. And Alabama's weakness is their defense. It has been all year. If we've watched these tournament games, we've seen a lot of these coaches, a lot of these teams want to try and slow Alabama down. And the issue with that is they still have good scorers. Like, they're confident. They scored 90 points a game, I think tops in the NCAA. So, you better score if you're going to slow the game down. And it was great. Clemson in the last game, when they were scoring, hey, no problem, right? They were able to get into their half-court set, slow Alabama down and keep control. But as soon as you miss some shots, before you know it, you're down 6 and the game is over. So I think UConn's going to push that pace. I think UConn's going to score 90-plus points today. And we'll see if Alabama's hitting their shots. They've been hitting them recently. So, I mean, we'll see if that trend continues tonight.
What do you think, if there's anything to do with the UConn travel troubles? Do you know their plane, was delayed, and there were issues with the weather and stuff like that, so they didn't end up getting into Phoenix? I think the other teams all got there, Wednesday during the day. These teams all got there Thursday. Connecticut got there Thursday at 3:15 a.m. Phoenix time.
I don't know how much that impacts a team when you're in your 20s, maybe even your late teens, when you've seen it with NC State to a different degree with that Diallo, where he's not eating or drinking all day until 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and I don't even know what it is, but it's not impacting his play, and it's actually kind of giving his team a boost, something to rally around. I almost wonder if UConn could rally around that, a little bit of a cry of, hey, this is something that we need to guard against, and maybe Curly has that team really ready to go tonight or tomorrow night.
Dave, great job here on a Friday. You left it exactly where I wanted it to, where you wanted me to pick up is, I think it's a rallying cry for UConn. I think it's just another motivational thing Hurley can say, focus, and let's play and let's beat these guys. Let's see what happens this weekend. Should be fun, and we'll be back Monday to talk about the Monday night championship game in the NCAA. Looking forward to that. WKXL Radio is here on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire. You got it, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com.